This is News and Notes. I'm Audie Cornish. Farai Chidea is away. Back again this week to hash out some of the hottest showbiz news is Allison Samuels. She's an entertainment writer for Newsweek magazine. Hey, Allison, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
So first, let's dish about Usher. I'm on all the black blogs, and this relationship has just been a buzz for a really long time. And he was planning to wed his fiancée, Tamika Foster, this past Sunday. That didn't happen. Tell us what did.
They postponed it. Basically, now they're saying at first it was canceled. Now they're saying that she was ill because she's pregnant with this child. And they're saying that she really couldn't do it because she was ill and in the hospital. But a lot of people are really sort of thinking that this is a publicity stunt because it's been going on for so long. And, you know, they canceled the wedding like 3-4 hours before the wedding. People are already on their way to the wedding, and they canceled it. And if you think about it, this is, you know, the most attention he's gotten from mainstream. You know, he's in People. He's in all the mainstream publications. And I would hate to think this is a publicity stunt, but in this day and time, I don't put anything past any celebrity, you know, to get that ink in the paper. And, you know, I don't know if he has a new album coming out, but that always sort of helps that. But it definitely keeps him on, you know, on people's minds and people talking about him. And I think every celebrity wants that these days.
And what kind of rumors have been out there?
That this isn't his child, even though she says that it is. The Enquirer had a huge story, which a lot of people thought got the wedding postponed, where they talked about her being in jail for welfare fraud, dating drug dealers, just this sort of background that I think nobody knew she had, and particularly Usher. And always his mother has never liked her. And because of, you know, her, he fired his mother as a manager and basically all these people that he's had around him for years. So, you know, it's always sort of had this sort of, unsettling sort of, aura, just because she's so much older than he is. You know, she's like 39. Usher's like 27. So, I mean, a lot of things sort of pointed to, I don't know if this is actually going to work. So I think nobody was really that surprised when it was canceled. But now they're saying they're still together and they will get married. It'll just be later on. So I think
that have anything to do with all the haters out there? Their sort of age difference or...
Well, you know, because, you know, you see Demi Moore and her husband, Ashton Kutcher. I'm saying it works, but I think what upset people the most was that he fired his mother. He fired all the people that had been around him for years. And whenever, I think, particularly for African Americans, when you diss your mother, I think that always...
Don't go there.
Yeah,
huh?
That just doesn't work out well.
And I guess, is there any way to know if any of this is true? Has anything come up since the weekend that's indicated...
Whether it's true or not, no, that just that you've seen, you know, these sort of carefully orchestrated photos of them walking together, holding hands. And, you know, there was some speculation that Usher called the photographers to come out when they came out of the hotel. I mean, just things that make you just sort of go, is this for real or not? So I think we just sort of have to wait and see how this plays out.
And there's been a lot of manipulation back and forth. Both of them have addressed the press directly.
And that's been interesting because I think it's only made it worse. You know, him sort of asking the blogs to leave her alone and asking, you know, Tom Joyner. He even went on Tom Joyner and asked them to sort of stop making fun. And of course, as soon as he hung up, they made fun of him. You know, so it's sort of like, you know, what are you actually thinking? You can't stop people from talking. It's just not, you know, it's not going to happen.
So I'm going to go on to some lighter news here. Mm-hmm. There is a new movie out, Who's Your Caddy? It's from black entertainment mogul Bob Johnson. It's his first, and it stars rapper Antoine Andre Patton, a.k.a. Big Boy, and the hip-hop star from Outkast. And it's about a hip-hop star who wants to join an exclusive country club.
They're turning this golf course.
One of us has to go.
How you want to handle it?
My team wins, you go. Your team wins, I go.
We're going to talk to Johnny Cochran about this.
He's dead.
Oh, wait a minute. You killed Johnny Cochran?
Into their kind of club.
You like that, don't you?
We're going to do it. I feel it.
There you go.
No! Oh! What's
up? That looks scrumptious.
I like country clubs.
Now, this movie came out last week, and so far it's earned around $3 million at the box office. Not too bad. I mean, could this be any worse than Will Smith's Legend of Bagger Vance in terms of black golf movies go?
Oh, it's worse. I mean, you know, this is definitely, I mean, it's disappointing in Bob Johnson because with black entertainment television, you know, he had so much criticism because the programming he had on that was not necessarily positive. And for him to go his separate ways and now have a film company and make this type of movie, which just has it's not funny. I mean, the Johnny Cochran joke, that's not funny. And I just sort of wonder, he's such a smart guy. I really had hoped when he sort of made that second, you know, the next step, the next step he took would be something where he would actually put something of quality out. He did a movie at Black Entertainment a couple of years ago called Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. And the title was a little off-putting, but it was an excellent movie. And, you know, I really had hoped from that point that the movie didn't do well. And I think that's why he sort of stepped away from doing sort of those historical type movies, because it was, you know, back in the 50s. But nonetheless, it was something of quality. But this movie is just, it's buffoonish in many ways. You know, you look at it and you're just sort of going, this isn't funny. And $3 million isn't that great, because if that's how much it made the first week, it's only going to get worse, you know, the second week.
So did any of the supporting cast help? I know Faison Love was in it, and did that carry the movie in any way?
No, I mean, you look at you know, even with Outkast, when they did Outta Wild, that didn't help that they were in it. So I think people can see quality. And if, you know, it's one thing to be funny, it's another thing to sort of be stupid. And I think that, you know, the audience knows the difference. That's why they didn't support it.
Well, the thing everyone knows about Johnson is that he's always been about business. And was this a good business move?
No, not with $3 million, you know, the first weekend. I think he's always been about money. I think that's sort of been more of his sort of, you know, thought process. And that's why BET for so long didn't do original programming, because it cost too much. And it was just better and easier for him just to put on videos all day long. And now, like I said, I thought with his own company, and, you know, he owns, a basketball team, I thought that he would have more freedom to sort of do more sort of quality work. But if this is his first film, it doesn't bode well for what's coming down the pipe. I'm not
seeing it.
Yes, I'm not.
Well, I want to also talk about Venus Williams, who's fresh off a big Wimbledon win this summer, and she's starting a new fashion design company. And you talked to her about this. And one thing I'm curious about, she's always been criticized by tennis folks about being too involved in other things.
Right.
Can you talk about what this company is and sort of what she's feeling going into it?
Well, it's interior design and fashion. So she's doing a lot of interior design. She actually, when there was a chance of the Olympics being in New York, she actually designed a guest room for it, hoping, you know, that she would be chosen as the designer for that. But, you know, it went to London. But nonetheless, she's basically going to all these different smaller offices and just using her sort of creative skills, because she's, you know, been to design school. She's about to graduate from fashion school to sort of, you know, sort of sell her product. And she actually is pretty good at it. But I think the interesting thing about both of the sisters, they both were sort of, the father was criticized for them doing too many different things and not playing in enough tournaments. But if you think about it, Venus is now 27 and she's still at the top of her game. And I think that's because they pace themselves. They've not played in every tournament. So they're not, you know, tired. They're not, you know, totally worn down. They actually have a freshness to them. And I think a lot of that is because they do other things outside of the world of tennis. And so they don't get bored with it. And, you know, most of the athletes, you know, 3 or 4 years of playing every tournament, they're gone out of the game by 25.
And you rarely see them with a backup plan.
Thank you. But they have so many different, you know, sort of things. They're very smart girls. And I think, you know, the interesting thing about Richard Williams is that, you know, say what you will about him, he had a plan and it actually has worked. Venus also, which most people don't realize, for Wimbledon, she fought for women this year to get the same prize money as men. And this is the first year that's happened. And it was, you know, according to the, you know, the Tennis Association, it was really because of her. She stepped in. She really sort of made her complaint vocal. And, you know, because of that, that was changed. So it's interesting to see them grow up because I interviewed them when they were, you know, just teenagers. And sort of to see them now become these very, you know, business-like women is really a wonderful thing to see.
And, you know, we actually did talk to James Blake, an African-American player top-ranked for men's tennis, about race and sort of dealing with that on the court. And I was wondering if she talked any about that, especially fresh off this win.
Well, I asked her because her father had said after Wimbledon that, you know, nothing's changed. 50 years later, nothing's changed for African-Americans. And her thought was that, you know, her father and her mother both come from the South, so she understood that, you know, they see things very differently. But her feelings that things have changed, they're not where they need to be yet, but she definitely has sort of noticed a change, just even being on the tour for the years that she has, that people are certainly more accepting of she and her sister, actually, you know, enjoy watching them win. She feels like, you know, they get 100% support from, you know, African-Americans and non-African-Americans in their, you know, sort of tournaments or whatever. So I think she had a very positive sort of outlook. And, you know, she dates men of all different colors. She talked about that. Her boyfriend now is European. And, you know, she said that, you know, you have to get love where you can find it. So I think they have a very open-minded approach to life. And I think that's because they've been exposed to so much for so many years.
And we've all watched them growing up all this time.
Definitely.
So it's good to hear. Well, I had one other thing I wanted to ask you about, which is Sudanese model Alek Wek, who has a new book coming out. And that's titled Alek from Sudanese Refugee to International Supermodel. She's kind of like the Williams sister of the modeling world. Right. I mean, she's graced a lot of covers that black models haven't before, or it's very rare. Can you talk about what she like?
It's so funny to know that she's been through such an amazingly hard life, given, you know, given her childhood. She has such a happy, you know, sort of spirit that I think is just, you know, amazing, given everything she's lived through. And she has such a connection to that past. And I think the book is a way for her, and as she said to me, a way to find closure, because she, you know, even doing interviews, you do bits and pieces of your life. But the book she was able to sort of put it all together. And I think she also was able to talk to her mother, who had not talked about it a lot because it was too painful. And she was able to get her mother to sort of open up about what she had gone through and what she saw as an adult living through this and trying to get her children out of that country. So I think this, you know, just watching her over the last couple of years and seeing her sort of become this businesswoman as well, because she has a handbag company. I mean, she's also doing all types of businesses outside of modeling. So that's not her mainstay at this point. It's interesting to see her, you know, sort of come over here and succeed and, you know, actually sort of keep a level head about her, because she seems incredibly, you know, just humble and just, you know, very gracious.
What surprised you about her?
I guess what surprised, well, how tall she was. I mean, she's so tall. It was just, I mean, and I know models are tall, but she is like, because she's very skinny and tall. So I was just sort of stunned by that. But also, like I said, just her spirit, just her, you know, sort of feeling of, I'm grateful to be here. None of this, you know, had to happen to me. I'm still, she seemed still very surprised even years later that this actually occurred, that she became this supermodel and now has this sort of amazing life. So I think, I guess I assume by now she would be jaded with the business and jaded with, you know, the celebrity of it. But she still seems to be enjoying it.
And did she talk a little bit about what it's like for African-American models?
Well, I know she made the point that, unfortunately, because now it's all about celebrities, you know, you don't see models of color on the covers because they're using celebrities, and that definitely makes it hard to get a cover, because other than Beyonce or maybe Halle Berry, no one else is going to get a cover. So she said that's been really disappointing to sort of see that turn in the industry. But overall, she thinks, you know, the runway shows and designers have been actually very supportive of African-American models.
And finally, I don't know how much you got into the book, but are there any tidbits or surprises you could share with us from the book?
Well, I think basically when she talks about the more moving part is her talking about her dad who died when she was 12, and basically her just, you know, sort of saying that, you know, he died from poverty, basically just not having enough to eat, not having the medical care he deserved. And, you know, we hear this all the time, but she says it and she explains it in such, you know, sort of painful, you know, sort of flashbacks, because she had such a close relationship with her father. And, you know, to sort of basically watch him die was probably the worst thing that ever happened to her. So I think that was probably one of the more moving parts of the book, and just her relationship with her mother. I mean, you know, you know that your mother is sort of the center of your life. Many people have that, but her mother really kept that family together. And I think that's the thing that's the most inspirational about the book.
Well, Allison, thanks for talking with us. So many strong and interesting stories here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Allison Samuels is an entertainment writer with Newsweek magazine.